Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If this ministry has touched your life in any way, contact us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook or by emailing us at bfwcgeorgetown@gmail.com. Feel free to share your prayer requests or comments. We hope you enjoy today's message. Blessings to you and yours.
Tonight, you ready to learn? You ready to go deeper than what you've been before? Amen? Look at somebody and say, deeper? I gotta dive deeper. How many of you realize the Word of God says that people perish for the lack of wisdom? How many of us in here are tired of the enemy beating up on you and working you over and talking you out of your blessing and causing you to leave and causing you to quit and causing you to this and causing you to that? Amen? And I can go ahead and tell you the devil is mad because you know why? Anytime you start talking about the Holy Spirit, anytime that you start talking about coming together, he wants to bring dissension. He wants to bring a lot of different things. So you might as well just go ahead and look at somebody and say, are you in it? Say it, are you in it? Louder, are you in it for the long haul? You'll find out, amen. Grab your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. We're picking up again. I'm going to stay on the Holy Spirit for a good while because, again, if Jesus considered it to be something very important or somebody very important in your life, then we all need it. Amen. Look at somebody and say, we all need it. We all need it. Amen. Who is he? The Holy Spirit. Well, tonight, I want to tell you he's a facilitator. He's a change agent. How many of you here want to be different? One person. We'll try this again. I said, how many of you here want to be different? Okay. You want to change. And listen, tonight I'm going to show you another aspect of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to see some things that really is going to blow your mind. And I want to get you to understand in the book of Acts, okay. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, isn't it interesting that you start getting into the story of Peter? It's not by accident. Look at somebody and say, it's not by accident. Why is it that Peter had to be the first one talked about in the book of Acts? It's because the Holy Spirit was a change agent in Peter's life, probably more than just about anybody except for Paul. And isn't it interesting that in the book of Acts, it starts out with Peter? And tonight, I want you to understand something. You ready? You don't have to be perfect to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be perfect to be anointed. Oh, come on, help me. You don't have to have it all together for God to use you. Isn't that great news? Because the truth is, none of us has got it together. Nobody's got it perfectly down pat. And God wants to use us. He wants to change us. Do you understand? The Word says that we'll become a new creature and a new creation. The old things will die or pass away. You understand that there's a process of dying to things. How many of you want it Burger King way? You just want to say, God, I give it to you and that's it. Wouldn't that be nice if God would just let you come to him and say, Lord, I can't deal with this anger anymore. Here it is, and you walk away and never have it again. But that's not the way it is it? Worry. Worry. I would love to be able to walk up and just take worry and drop it off in Jesus' lap and walk away and never have to worry again. Come on. Anybody here, poverty, lack of money. Wouldn't that be awesome just to be able to walk up and go, well, here it is, you know, all right, now, and you walk, turn around, you grab your chest full of gold, and you walk out the door. But you realize everything in life costs you something. Amen? And for change, change is going to cost you something. Amen? If we want to be different, then we got to go through the times. Y'all remember when it talked about that he would actually set the bruised free. People who are bruised is people who decide to come out of where they are and allow change to happen. Y'all remember that on a Sunday morning? And listen, it ain't fun. Go ahead and look at somebody and say, it's not fun going through. Anybody going through? Everybody in here should have their hand up. One way, shape, or form, you're going through. Listen, don't camp out. Don't stay somewhere. You hearing me? Listen, if you got to turn off Facebook, if you got to turn off the TV, if you got to turn your phone off, my God, have mercy right now. Are you ready? To get where God needs you to go, you're going to have to allow change to happen. And I'm going to give you a superb example of change. Because the Holy Spirit will cause a change on the inside of you that you can't do yourself. Isn't it great to know, Stephanie, that the Holy Spirit can change something in me and I can change because of Him? Isn't that great to know? So let's look at this in Acts chapter 2, because we went through Acts chapter 1. But in verse 13, I'll pick up where I dropped off from last week. Are you ready? Y'all remember they spoke in tongues. Y'all remember last week we talked about tongues and where tongues came from. Hello? Then you get down to verse 13, they're all mocking them and they're laughing at them because they think they're drunk. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but whenever you get drunk, it seems like you get stupider, not smarter. Can anybody help me with that? Come on, all of a sudden when you get drunk, you realize that that really good-looking person you thought was good-looking is not that good-looking. Okay, that decision you made while you was under the influence really wasn't a good decision, was it? So here you find, y'all laughing at me, but I'm speaking truth. They're accusing them of something. You're right, they were drunk. They were drunk on a new wine. Others mocking said that these men were full of wine. In verse 14, I want you to see this. All of a sudden, this guy named Peter comes on the scene. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hear to my words. For they are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that." Everybody say, "This is that." "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Verse 17, he said it. He said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you want to come to church and feel the presence of God? So you need to understand what he said is there has been a loosing. This is what's been prophesied, Stephanie. You can't take away something that's been promised. If God promised it, you can believe it is yes and amen. Oh, somebody give me a better help than that right there. The choice is if we want to take it or not, but the promise still stays the same. Come on, anybody ever went to buy a car and they had an online or an on-lot warranty and they couldn't take the warranty away from you, and then when it came time to fix something, the warranty had to kick in. They couldn't take it from you because you didn't do anything to have the warranty. Hello? No matter what you do, the promises of God are yes and amen. Whether you're the biggest sinner in the world or the greatest saint in the world, the promises of God are yes for your life and amen, no matter what. Does this make sense? So watch it, what he's saying here. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Come on, that's our kids. You know what I want to see? I want to see our kids full of the Holy Ghost. Could you imagine some kids walking up and going, Hey, Pastor, God gave me a word, and they stand up here, and out of their mouth comes a word from God, not a word from them. Don't tell me it won't happen, because I can go on YouTube and show you 9-year-old preachers. Y'all ain't going to say nothing. Listen, y'all focus, because the enemy does not want you to hear this tonight. You ready? Watch this. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I'm not dreaming yet. I'm considering myself young. Come on. How many of you have, by the Holy Spirit's come in your life and gave you a glimpse of somewhere different than you are right now? Just be truthful. Now, when you get into the pit, listen to Pastor, when you get into the pit, you have to constantly remind yourself of what he showed you and promised you. Can I just go there for 1 minute and just preach that? Because you're going to go through the pit to get to the palace. And from the palace, you got to go through a prison to get to the end destination, which is a place of authority. Is this making sense? So if you're in prison, glory to God, your day's coming. But if you're in the pit, keep your eyes on the dream or the vision that God gave you. Amen. So you continue to actually see him. He begins to go through and he preaches. He preaches all the way from verse 18 all the way down to 37. Everybody say, powerful man of God. How many of y'all consider Peter to be one of the greatest? You do? You do. Can I take you back for a second? I want you to turn your Bibles. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. When you get there, I want you to say amen. Verse 54. Is everybody still doing good? Luke chapter 22, verse 54 says this, "Then they took him, Jesus, and they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire. Earnestly, everybody please look at your word right here, because this is very important. Earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. Verse 57, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Everybody still with me? And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Anybody ever got your hand caught in the cookie dish? In more than one way. Watch this. Just about the time that you think you're far enough to stay out of trouble, y'all ain't gonna say nothing. Just the time that you're in your walk with God and you think, you know what, I'm gonna let them go through what they have to go through and it not affect me or infect me. Does this make sense? Somebody is going to spy you out. Now look at this. Verse 59. And about a space of an hour after, confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. Verse 60. And Peter said, man, I know him not, and what you say. And immediately while he spoke, the cock crew. Verse 61. Now watch this. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said unto him, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, can I help everybody here? When you try to do things on your own, you remember when he was sitting at the table with the rest of them and they were all safe and he said, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. I'm never going to leave you. Come on. How many of us in here said, Lord, no matter what comes my way, I'm always going to serve you. I'm always going to be right there for you. But yet, there comes a time when the persecution comes and the stuff begins to happen. Hello. Hello. Man, I got to give everybody a minute here. Okay, watch this. And then you realize that you're in your own flesh. I'm trying to do this in my own flesh. Come on. I can't ask anybody for anything. I'm just going to do it on my own. This is what I've always done. How is it working for you? Peter, how's this working for you? You're a grown man who owned a shipping business, and you were the tough guy who always stayed out in the storms and always weathered everything, and you made sure you always got yours. But now you're in a place where you're under the gun, and people are staring at you saying, this same guy we're going to kill, we're looking at you now. See, your flesh will get you in a place. Is this helping everybody? Because we look at Peter and we go back and remember Jesus saying, but Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. Could you imagine as he began to strut around and go, hey guys, did you hear that? Did you hear that? And then within just a few days later, you find him denying Jesus three times and Jesus actually looking at him. See, you know what? Can I help you? It would be one thing for me to deny Jesus behind closed doors. It's another thing when I deny him and he looks me square in my eyes. Can I just help everybody here? Nobody here has to go through that. But he did. This great apostle, this great man of God, when the pressure came on, Stephanie, he buckled. How many of us feel like that? When the pressure comes on, we buckle. Oh, this is, come on, this is truth. This is truth. Pastor's preaching. Is this truth? When the pressure comes on, I begin to buckle because I try to do it on my own. I don't find somebody who will help me bind up or loose like I preached on Sunday. No, what I do is I want to run. I want to run. I want to get away. And no matter where I hide, and I know you know what I'm talking about because you've done it yourself, no matter where you hide at, well, I just don't feel like going to church today. Go hide. The enemy will find you right where you are. He's relentless. But you also got a good shepherd who will find you right where you are too. Hello? Somebody. Can I keep going? Go to John chapter 21. Just go there. John 21. Is everybody still with me? Is everybody doing okay? I'm trying to show you what happens when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you. There's something that begins to change and see, I got to show you a process. Can I show you a process? You go from Peter denying him to John chapter 21, verse 15. Peter was fishing in a boat. He looks up and sees a guy cooking fish on the bank. And then he began to realize, wait a minute, that's Jesus. He jumps out the boat, swims up there, beats the rest of the crew there. See, in his mind, he was just so happy to see him, he didn't think about what he had done. Come on, anybody ever been in a place where you're just so happy to get some relief, you don't even consider, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. Lord, I just got to get to church to get some relief. But what you don't understand is when you come to church, Jesus is there. So let's look at this. Are you ready? Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? And he said unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, or that I'm fond of you. And he said to him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Is everybody doing okay? Because I preached this part before, but I just got to get you to see something. So what does he do? He asks him again, doesn't he? Simon Peter, do you love me? Of course I'm fond of you. It's a different word. In the Greek, it means to be fond of. It doesn't mean that I'm actually sold out. It just means I'm fond of. And Jesus said, well, if that's the case, then go ahead and feed my sheep. Then the last time Peter breaks, how many of y'all are with me? The last time Peter breaks, and he says, Lord, you know that I love you. I agape. I surrender every piece and every part. And Jesus looks at him and says, now go and feed my sheep. Go and be what I've called you to be. Go and do what I've called you to do. Now, see, there's a step here. One, when you're in your flesh, you buckle. But I can go ahead and tell you that you got a Redeemer that's coming. Jesus will never leave you where you are so as long as you come to him. Is this helping everybody? See, Peter had a choice. I can stay in the boat with the rest of the guys and get there when I get there, or I can choose to get there before everybody else so that I can get close to him, even though I was what I was and I did what I did and I've done what I've done. Does this make sense to everybody? Peter jumped out of the boat and said, I got to get to him first, because if anybody needs a touch, I need a touch. I need a word. I need something from the master. I need him. Even though I denied him before, I got to run to him. I can't separate myself from him. Does this make sense? So he goes up there, and the first thing that he does in front of all of his disciples, no, wait a minute, y'all didn't hear me. When Jesus spoke to him, listen, put yourself there. When Jesus spoke to them, he didn't pull Peter to the side. He looked at Peter in his eyes and he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Where did Peter deny Jesus at before in front of everybody? He had no backbone. He was weak and afraid. Come on, how many of us feel that way? See, here's a signal that you are doing it on your own. You're weak and you're afraid. Oh, Pastor, did you have to go there? Yes, I did. Because if you're in fear, then you're obviously not full of the Spirit of God. Because the Word says this, he said, he didn't give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you power, love, and a sound mind. That's what it says in 2 Timothy. So you find him looking in front of everybody and saying, all right, in front of everybody here, do you really love me or do you not love me? Yes, Lord, I'm fond of you. Yes, Lord, I'm fond of you. And then when it finally hits home, he says, Lord, I surrender. Yes, I am absolutely in love with you. How many of y'all still look at Peter as this big mammoth, strong, powerful? Upon this rock, I will build my church. No, what you find is an afraid, worried, failure. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Until Jesus came along and redeemed him. How can God use someone like that? I'm so glad you asked. How many of y'all in here have ever asked, Lord, how are you going to use me? Come on. Lord, how are you going to use me? How can you use me when I've denied you so many times before? How can you use me when I've ran from you because I was scared? How can you use me when you told me to say something, but I didn't say it? How can you use me whenever I was supposed to do this and take a step out in faith, but instead of stepping out of the boat, I decide to stay in the boat? How can you use me, Lord? How can you use me? How can you get me to the place where I can get out of who I am and be who you say I am? See, there's a difference. Can I help everybody? You're too tied up looking at yourself in the mirror that you're missing what Jesus has said about you. You're missing what the Father has said about you. And that's the problem in the church today, is when we look in the mirror, we don't see a king and a priest or a queen and a priestess. Who we see is a weak, fearful, worried, down and out, good for nothing. And God looks at you and says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're above and not below. And you're my child and you're highly favored. You're not a prodigal. You're not an orphan. You're what I call my own. You're a bride. And that I'm calling you unto myself. See, what we forget is who he says we are. But even when we learn who we are, we still got to be filled. Isn't it interesting that when you get to the second chapter of Acts, that Peter stands up in front of everybody and begins to say, these guys ain't drunk. This is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. See, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens is you get past yourself and you begin to walk in who God calls you to be. He's the facilitator. The Holy Spirit is the change agent. He gets on the inside of you where you used to be scared before. You can stand and look at a lion. Y'all ain't gonna help me. You can stand and look at a king when he says, I've heated it up seven times hotter and I'm going to throw you in it. You can stand before a giant who has taken out so many before, and you can reach down and pick up the simple things that God has. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. My God, have mercy. The Spirit of God will come upon you, and you will get what you need when you need it, and you will release it when it needs to be released. Is everybody doing all right? I'm trying. It's hard. Watch this. God wants to take what's on the inside of you and then begin to facilitate it. And it only happens by the Holy Spirit. See, so many times we say, well, God, you know, I pray for boldness. I pray for boldness. I pray for boldness. Anybody hear your knees knock when you try to witness to somebody? Be honest. Well, I don't know really how to do it. Is there any perfect way to do it? Look, where are you going to spend eternity, man? Okay, even if you don't believe it, okay, if you believe you're just going to die in the ground, why don't you know for sure? Do you really want to know? I mean, can we just talk about this? You know what my favorite word is? Let's agree to disagree. I'm not here to argue with you. Let's just agree to disagree. Anybody here with me right now? I don't have a bit of problem talking to an atheist or a Muslim or anybody else, because you know why? We can agree to disagree. But at the end of the day, you can believe I'm going to point you right back to Jesus, and it ain't going to matter, because in the end, he is the Alpha and the Omega, and he will always have the last say so and the last word. So no matter where you go or what you do, as long as you go back and say there is only one way, you can't get there through Buddha, you can't get there through Muhammad, you can't get there through this, you can't get there through that. This is what the Word says, no matter how you twist it, pull it, snatch it, pull out of it what you want to, but I can promise you one day when you look at the sky and watch it crack, you're going to remember what I said. Is this making sense? There is a boldness and a change that will come on the inside of you. You won't have a bit of problem looking at someone who's demon-possessed and not back down and run, but stand your ground, because greater is inside of you. Come on, guys, listen to me. When the doctor tells you that you got to do this, and then you can look at him and say, but I serve one who is a master physician. He has more than your PhD. Y'all, listen, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. That's why you got to find a Christian doctor. I found me a Christian doctor. So that way when I come in there, he goes, you know what, Pastor? Last week you were sounding pretty rough, but you know what? I know when God shows up in your life, I can tell you, I hear nothing in your lungs. You're absolutely clear. I was going to put you in the hospital last week, and this week I said, get out of my office. Go. Get out of here. Go preach. Go sing. Does this make sense to everybody? Because the Holy Spirit is your facilitator. He's the change agent inside of your life. And if he's not there, then you can't overcome. Let's just go back there. Go back to Acts. Is everybody good? Can you go back to Acts? Is anybody getting anything, or is this going over your head? Are you getting it? Acts chapter. Now, stay in 2 for a second. I got to go back to 2 for a minute. I want to show you something. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Look at verse 37. The same guy who denied him 3 times stands up and preaches in front of everybody. Now watch. In verse 37, when they heard these things, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now look at verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent. Woo! The guy who ran from everybody last time stands up, looks him in the face, and he says, you have to repent. Let me help everybody. The same people who said, crucify him, crucify him, give us Barabbas, crucify him. He stands up in front of the same ones that said, yeah, he was with them, and he says, you got to repent. Whoa, wow. Did that mess anybody up? The same people that wanted to kill you last week, Stephanie, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you can look at them and say, you need to repent. The same people who talked about you last week, you can look at them and say, you just need to repent. He looks at him and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Could you see somebody trying to sneak out of the crowd? He says, and you. I'm sorry, that would be just me saying that, right? Someone trying to sneak out the side. Get back over here. Ushers, grab that one because he needs to repent. Bring him right on up here in the front. No, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then, watch. Then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're living a sinful life. If you've never asked Jesus into your life and asked him to forgive you of your sins, then why would he squander a gift on you? That went over real good, didn't it? Let me ask you something. You ready? Would you dare give a drug addict money? Look at me. I mean, everybody, I'm just being real. Can I be really real here for just a second? Would you give a drug addict money? But you would take them into a restaurant and feed them. Does this make sense? Why would God, and I know there's no comparison, but why would God give something so special, so unique, something that crammed himself into a room to feel and be individual and personal and powerful? Why would God impart that into somebody's life who would take it and just squander it? You remember the boxes? How many of y'all remember the boxes? You keep asking, but your hands are full. And God's following you around all the time with this precious gift. And he wants to give it to you. Are you hearing me, church? Watch this. He has the gift of the Holy Spirit to impart in your life. It's a gift. You receive it. It ain't hocus pocus. It's a gift. He said, repent and be baptized. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I was about to jump ahead. Go to the next verse, 39. Go there. For the promise is unto you and your children and in all to them that are afar off, even for as many as the Lord our God shall call. How many of you realize that right here is your promise that you can be filled and changed? Come on, guys. I don't know about anybody else, but that jacks me up. I begin to realize right there that Peter was saying, hey, if you repent and you're water baptized, and guess what? You don't even have to put it in order. Just repent. Because later on in the book of Acts, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and then water baptized. And let me help you. Guess who it was for? The Gentiles. They were so hungry for the presence of God, the Lord said, you know what? I won't even let them be dunked yet. I'm just going to go ahead and pour myself on them, and then I'll let them be dunked. How hungry are you for his presence? Come on, guys. Y'all got to help me up in here. For the promise is unto you. Put your hand on your chest, say it's for me. So I've got a promise gift of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. And unto my kids, the kids you work with in after school. Lord knows we need a Holy Ghost move of God. Amen? Because there's a lot of them back there. They have a lot of issues that little ones should never have to have. Listen, it's the whole reason why a pastor has this place even open in the first place is because we're going to raise a generation of kids that know what it's like to be spirit-filled, set free, loving God, and being loved. You ask me why I do it. You ask me why I do it. It's because I believe in the promises of God, which are yes and amen. I believe it's on our children and upon our children's children, and I believe it's on those afar off. So guess what? When you go with me overseas, you're going to see it. Is everybody good? Can you still hang on? And when many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this upward generation. How many of us are just walking with the world? Can I just take this verse for just a second? How many of us want to act like the world, look like the world? We got to have the right shoes and the right clothes, and we got to have the right car, and we got to, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. I can tell already. You know what? We want to be different, but yet when we get along with everybody else, we look like them, talk like them, and act like them. getting out in the club on Saturday night, get up and preach and lead praise and worship on Sunday. Your days are numbered. There is a righteous fire of God that's coming and getting ready to sweep across this nation. And true colors are going to come out, and it's going to be nasty. Y'all ain't saying nothing, because the Lord's going to show it. Amen? Look at this. Verse 41. And then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. And how would y'all like to have one church service and then you have a members meeting of 3,000 people to join your church? You know, it makes me wonder. I think I got problems because this church is growing. I look around and I'm like, oh, my Lord, where am I putting this person? Where am I putting this at? Where's this going? What am I doing? And to think that in one day, Tyrone, could you imagine? Could you imagine? Hey, Tyrone, how about go back and get them 65 seats, and when you're bringing them out, I need you to multiply them. How would you like for a pastor to look at you like that and just say, hey, man, I need you to multiply some chairs in Jesus' name. I need some. Come on, guys. See, I need us to understand that the Lord ain't in what we have. He's in where we're going. Can y'all handle just a little bit more? He's a facilitator. The Holy Spirit will cause a change on the inside of you. Are you ready? Can I preach now? I finally got to chapter 3. Can I just preach for a couple minutes? Can you handle it? Chapter 3. Are you with me? Now Peter and John went up to the temple, into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in the temple. Can I give you just a nugget? He was around 40 years old. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked an alms. I need you to pay real close attention to 3, 4, and 5. Are you ready? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles received strength. Now, you know the story, but can I just break this down? Now I get to have some fun. Are you ready? They went up to pray. They're on the way. But the Holy Spirit that's in them always has a way of putting you where you need to be when you need to be. They've been by this guy countless times. Jesus walked by this man before. Y'all ain't listening to me right now. Are you watching this? Are you seeing this? Everywhere, every time they went in, he was there, he was there, he was there, he was there. And then you find him on this situation. In this circumstance, can I help you? There is times when you will be met where you're supposed to be met at, in the right time, in the right place, by the right person doing the right thing. All it takes for you to do is be in the right place, asking the right questions. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me right now. Okay, I'll just move right along then, because that was for somebody. But look at what he did. Watch this. As they were going into the temple, verse 3, the man, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now, can I stop here for a second? Can I explain to you what just happened? Someone who is in the pit of despair, who's lived their whole life in a mess. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. Could only pick up their eyes for a minute to realize, oh, those are some guys right there. Alms. Many times before, this man never looked people in the eyes. Y'all ain't going to help me. How many of us in here are in a place where we feel like we can't look up? We can't pick our head up anymore. But yet there's someone who's going to come by. who's full of the Holy Ghost. See, people who are not full of the Holy Ghost are just going to walk right on by you because they have nothing to offer you. Can I help you? Are you ready? Someone who's full of the Spirit of God can't wait but to pour out. But people who are just there, they're just saved and they're happy, they're going to walk right by you because they know they can't do anything for you. I can give you some money, but it ain't going to change your situation. Is this helping everybody? See, give me a person full of power who can change my situation. Come on. I need someone full of power who can help me change my situation. They may not even have the gold on them or the money on them, but they have something in them that they're going to release. Guys, listen to me. Do you understand? He looked at that man and he said, "Fasten. Look up at me." But before he did that, what did he do? He locked his eyes on him. Can I help you? There was one time when somebody else locked their eyes on him, you remember? You were with Jesus. No, I wasn't. Do you see how the roles reverse? See, when the Spirit of God comes on the inside of you, the thing that used to intimidate you will be the very thing that trips your circuit. It'll be the very thing that flips the switch on the inside of you, because where you failed before and you get around it, all of a sudden the Lord will take it and turn it around, because he said, "I will turn all things back around for my good." That's what the word says. He said, "I will turn it around. I will bring it back to fruition." Do you understand where the enemies hit you before? Listen to me. Where the enemies hit you before is what God will turn around to use against him. Pastor, you don't know my problems. Your problems will become power. Quit hanging out with the guys. Quit getting drunk. Start getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, the guys are going, "What's the matter with you, man? Why are you at home at night?" "It's because I love my wife and I'm doing what I'm called to do." "Well, why are you blessed? How did your wife get 4 raises in 1 month? How did you get this? How did you get that job? How did you pass that CDL? How did you do this? How did you get that car? How did this happen? How did this happen? I don't understand. What's going on in your life? Let me tell you what happened. I got full of power and I let a change on the inside of me." You always saying nothing. "Lord, I ain't got but $1.34 to my name." The Lord said, "Go to the mailbox." "Lord, you know I had to pay this bill, and I had to pay this bill, and I had to pay this bill." I said, "Go to the mailbox." "But Lord, you don't understand. I mean, I need you to show up." I said, "Go to the mailbox." "Lord, I got to get back to work. I don't feel good." I go to work. So being in disobedience, my wife goes to the mailbox. Pulls out a $606 check. "You ain't saying nothing." "Well, Pastor, how come you getting so blessed?" "It's because I'm full of something that maybe you're not. And if you're full of the presence of God, then you'll listen to him and he'll put you right where you need to be." Did you put something on my... You start getting refund checks in the mail. Wait a minute. Hold on a second here. So how do you go to Bible college where you're supposed to pay out and they send you a check for $777.04? How do you go through those things? How do you walk? How do you get blessed? No, because you know what? Lost money found. Debts paid off. Debts demolished. Royalties. How? Sevens. Completion. See, my God, have mercy. Y'all done made me pop my neck. I don't want you to put your eyes on where I was. I want you to put your eyes on what I am. See, what I am on the outside, I have nothing to offer you. Peter is looking at this man and saying, look on me, look on me, look on me, look, look at me. See, you need to realize on the outside, I may not look like I got much. And on the outside in the physical, I may not have a lot of silver and gold yet. But what I have, I give to you. See, you need to understand there is an untapped resource of the Holy Spirit down deep on the inside of you. If you're full, then he's just waiting for you to open up the well, baby. He's just waiting for you to let it loose, because there is times when you begin to realize his blessings are waiting on you. When you release, then you can receive. Guys, y'all ain't helping me at all. We need to realize, listen, you don't get full raises in a couple months. You don't get checks in the mail. You don't get these blessings. You don't watch people get healed if you haven't had a change on the inside, because God's not going to give you. He's not going to give you his best when you're still in your mess. But when you repent and just say, Lord, I'm done with it. Pastor, how you just going to say you're done with it? I'm going to take it and I'm going to shove it to the feet of Jesus and just say, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm sick of thinking about it. I'm sick of crying over it. I'm sick of spilled milk. I'm sick of it all. And I back up from it and say, now, God, this is the time when I need you to do something, and I repent. Let nothing be in me. And then I'm going to lift my hands and say, Holy Spirit, fill me. You got a problem with depression? Get filled with the Holy Spirit. You got a problem with self-confidence? Let him feel you and watch what happens. Can't beat that addiction? The word says he is no respecter of persons. If Peter had a fear problem, a worry problem, an anger problem, actually, Peter was all the above. I mean, he just, you name it, Mr. Peter had it. Pride. But yet God was reaching out to Peter and saying, I want to prove to generations of this world that if I can change you by my Holy Spirit, then what can I do with them? Can I just help you? What can happen to you? Because guys, there's so many times I sit at that desk in there, and I got some people who would tell you, they'll call, some people will call, I don't have the answers. I really don't have the answers. You know what I do? I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And that's it. And you know what I begin to do? I begin to listen. And all of a sudden, the Lord will say, ask them if they got an insurance policy. Ask them if Habitat might be able to help, or ask them if this, or ask that, or call this person. See, if I was on my own, all I could tell them is I don't know. And I don't claim to have answers for everybody. And you know what? I never will, but I got one who does. Amen. And I may call you back in a little while and just say, hey, I just had this come across my, and you know, sometimes pastor just says, I have a thought. But you can believe I've done checked in. Y'all ain't say nothing. I know some of y'all, this is way over your head, but in the old days, they used to have this pegboard. And when you made a phone call, they would take your wire and connect you with, you know what I'm talking about? You ever see those movies? I'm going to make this phone call, and I'm going to take you out of this person's phone, and I'm going to stick you in this person's phone. Do you realize that that's just what the Holy Spirit does? He goes, you know what? I need to take you out of your physical, and I just need to tie you right into you need a word from the Father right now. You need wisdom. You need knowledge. You need, okay, let me just patch you in. And he begins to facilitate, and connect the dots, la, 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 la. He just begins to put it together piece by piece because he's the facilitator. He's the change agent. It's one thing to be redeemed and saved. It is the most greatest miracle in the world, but it's another thing to be changed. You say, Pastor, how can you prove that? I can prove it to you, even in the Old Testament. I'm going to give you some examples, and I'll let you go home. I'll let you think about it. When the Holy Spirit came upon David, it said that he stripped down to his undergarments, and he danced like a fool through the whole city. But, Pastor, he was king, and everybody mocked him, including his wife. And when she did, she didn't understand that there was power in the anointing, and it shut up her womb because she did. She was never able to have kids because she opened her mouth and began to talk against the anointing of God and began to talk against what God was doing in that man of God's life. That man was so excited about bringing in the presence of God that he didn't care what people thought, what they acted like, or what they had to say. He was just glad the presence of God was here. When can we get to the place where we begin to realize, you know what? I don't care what they think, Stephanie. I can't wait for the day Stephanie gets in her chair. She starts doing the twirly bird right around in the middle of the floor. She just takes one and spins it around and around and around, and she just spins in the Holy Ghost. You know what? It doesn't make a difference. See, when we begin to realize that he's the facilitator, he's the one that can change, he's the one that wants to help me change, then I can begin to realize that when I change, then things change. We're waiting for things to change, but we're not changing. Preach, Pastor. You're wanting things to change, but you're not changing. You're grumbling. Okay, Israelites. I went there for about 2 seconds. God's still supplying he's still supplying your manna. He's still causing water to come out of places that you don't even understand. Actually, it's coming out of places, and he's supplying for you in places that should have never came out of. But he's still doing it because that's how much he loves you. Is this helping everybody tonight? Are you beginning to realize some things? See, the Holy Spirit is very, very powerful. He's very personal. But he's also a facilitator. He can take where you failed before and empower you to take where you failed and make it into something that you promote. Is this helping everybody? I don't have to lay my hands on you. I don't have to pray in tongues over you. Because what I gave you earlier, what Peter said, he said, this is a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise. You realize all you have to do is receive it. Jennifer, you could be sitting there washing dishes after all them kids went to bed, and the Holy Spirit can just hit you right there. Next thing you know, you're dancing all over the kitchen. Stephanie, you could be watching the kids, and the next thing you know, you singing in the Spirit. It's coming. But the difference is that we just have to what? Everybody say receive. Receive. Does it make sense? We've got to receive. If we have a promise, then we what? It's a guarantee. Does this help everybody? Did everybody get something out of this tonight? A very simple teaching, but listen, it's something for you. Tyrone, I want you so full of the Holy Spirit that when you go to work, anybody who tries to say anything different about God won't be able to handle the glory that comes off of you. I'm praying boldness upon our men. Boldness. Not nastiness. Not arguing, boldness. Boldness is when you actually speak with authority. So that when you open your mouth, it may only be one or two words, but you have to understand when you say it, all of heaven is with you. See, can I help everybody here? Listen, there's a difference when you say things on your own, but there's another difference when you call on something that's backed by heaven. I have to preach that sometime. Walk it, saints of God. Receive it, saints of God. Are you hearing your pastor? Now, I will say this to everybody here. If you have not been water baptized, you can be water baptized. Amen? If you've never been, I'm telling you, you can be. Amen? Amen. Everybody get something tonight? Everybody got something? Glory to God.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. If you've made a decision to follow Christ, we rejoice with you. Please let us know by contacting us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook. And we invite you to catch our next broadcast right here. See you soon.